The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Ellen Sura for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Restaurant Review. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Five West Magazine, Yes Weekly, Main and Broad Magazine, Our State Magazine, and we will be featuring locations around the state. First up is an article, not strictly about an eatery, but about a chef who is making a difference. From Five West Magazine, local chef Cooney takes a bold step with Feed Well Fridges by Kurt Dusterberg. Sarah Cooney is hovering over a simmering stock pot at her Cafe Root Cellar in Pittsburgh on a quiet Monday afternoon. A quick peek reveals a variety of veggies crowded along the surface of the water, giving off a pleasant aroma. This is my enchilada sauce. It's tomatoes, peppers, onions, chilies, garlic, cilantro, Cooney says. I threw some bread in, so when I blend it, it thickens it up. The restaurant won't open again until Thursday, but the owner is busy working on her other mission, where her sunny optimism assures that every bit of food that passes through her kitchen will wind up on a plate or in a pot. It was bread that had gone stale here, so I threw it in, instead of making a roux, she says. It's so easy when you think about it, it just becomes second nature. Cooney, who also co-owns the Root Cellar Cafe and Catering in Chapel Hill with her wife, Susan White, started a new venture called Feed Well Fridges in August. The full-sized units are stocked with free meals that are available 24 hours a day. Residents are welcome to take what they need. One fridge is located in Siler City at 219 Chatham Square, and the other in Pittsburgh at Cora, Chatham County's food pantry at 40 Camp Drive. The fridges were Cooney's idea, but the food is supplied by farmers, grocers, restaurants, and caterers, tapping leftovers that would otherwise go to waste. On this day, Cooney is working in the kitchen alongside White and Larkin Willis. A local caterer has donated trays of leftover barbecue, so the women are filling individual containers with sandwiches on hoagie rolls. Others are stocked with generous portions of meatballs and pasta. Already they have 60 meals ready to go out the door. We've made three trips to the Siler City fridge today, White says. We don't normally make more than one, but a volunteer had already refilled the fridge. The idea for Feed Well Fridges began during COVID. Each week, Cooney would break down her walk-in refrigerators and make soups to donate to Cora. But the lines were growing longer, and she knew residents faced eligibility limits at the pantry. According to the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center, approximately 11% of the population in Chatham County lives at or below the poverty level, and 27% is considered low income. I learned that we were all just one step away from nothing, she says. There's so many people that went hungry at that time. When Cafe Root Cellar reopened, Cooney wanted to build on her contributions. She began packaging the leftovers from her catering business and reaching out to others in the industry. Local farms were quick to help. They're the most generous. They see what's going on, Cooney says. With the restaurants, sometimes it comes down to being a pride thing. They don't want us to know, maybe, how much waste they have. It happens. Cooney has always had a fondness for food. She grew up in Connecticut, where her grandfather ran an Italian-American social club. As a kid, she loved stirring the large pots on the stove. When she landed her first job at a Publix grocery store, she quickly realized that being in close proximity to the food wasn't good enough. I hated being a cashier, and I begged to work in the deli, she says. From the age of 12, I knew I wanted to be a chef. I would watch PBS with my father on Saturday instead of cartoons. She attended Green Mountain College in Vermont on a soccer scholarship, but when she suffered an injury, she decided to go to culinary school in Vermont. In 2001, she moved to the Triangle, landing chef positions at the Fearington House Restaurant and later at Foster's Market, which she and White purchased and rebranded as Root Cellar Cafe and Catering in 2013. Her work at Foster's influenced how she would cook. "That's where I learned that good food doesn't have to be fancy," she says. Cooney spends most of her time in the Pittsburgh kitchen, where Cafe Root Cellar is open Thursday through Saturday for dinner and Sundays for brunch. Guests can always count on a good burger, but the menu changes every week. "It's whatever I get at the farmer's market, whatever I feel like I want to eat that week," she says. "On Wednesday, I come up with the menu and we start prepping it, and on Thursday, we open. It's nothing fancy, but it's good food." She is quick to reinforce that nothing fancy doesn't mean the food isn't delicious. She grew up on scratch-made food from her parents, and she wears it like a badge of honor. "Still to this day, I never have had Hamburger Helper," she says. The success of Feed Well Fridges is partly owed to Cooney's own celebrity in the food industry. She has appeared twice on the Food Network's Guy's Grocery Games, but it was an appearance on Supermarket Steakout in June where she earned a measure of fame. The program challenges chefs to prepare themed dishes from the groceries that shoppers have just purchased. After she whipped up a peanut butter and jelly crumb cake ice cream sandwich in the dessert competition, Cooney was awarded the $10,000 grand prize. There is a certain randomness about the food stacking up in the Pittsburgh kitchen. Cooney glances past a box of green and yellow zucchini squash before sizing up a shelf with bananas, pasta, and a lone jar of sauerkraut. She opens a cardboard flap to reveal dozens of green apples. "I will probably turn these into applesauce, maybe some apple cobbler," she says confidently. None of the food will go to waste. Cooney and her staff prepared more than 2,000 meals in the first 2 months. Such is the need in Chatham County. But the numbers are less important to her than the need. "The fridges are emptied every day," she says. Eventually, Cooney would like to expand the Feed Well fridges. Siler City could use another, and there is food insecurity in Goldston and other communities as well. There are logistics to work through, including donors, kitchen space, and volunteers. Refrigerators must be located somewhere safe. 24 access is assured. But the food resources are already out there. "I drive to Smithfield to pick up hundreds of pounds of chicken bones," she says. "I turn it into chicken stock, chicken dumplings, chicken soup, chicken pot pie." In the meantime, Cooney will do what she can, feeding the fortunate and the needful. Both will be fed well. "No one gets into restaurants to make a lot of money anyways," she says, "so at least I'm doing something good." So the refrigerators, again, are located in Siler City at 219 Chatham Square and in Pittsburgh at Cora, Chatham County's food pantry at 40 Camp Drive. And if you're interested in her actual restaurant, Cafe Root Cellar is at 35 Suttles Road, Penguin Place in Chatham Park, in Pittsburgh, North Carolina. And the phone number there is 919-542-1062. From Yes Weekly, the Triad's alternative voice since 2005, we have Chow Down with John Batchelor at Sage and Salt Bistro by John Batchelor. Sage and Salt Bistro opened in October. It is located on the edge of Old Salem in a landmark brick building that was originally home to the Southbound Railway freight warehouse and office. The interior bears a cozy feel with some seating at a long bar looking into the open kitchen. That bar is a knockout with strip lighting framing bottle cubicles. In the dining area, Hunter Green walls host a non-dominant television adjacent to the bar with artwork and other decorative accessories elsewhere. One wall is brick, retained from this building's original frame. Seating is actually comfortable, if not a rarity in area restaurants, at least unusual enough to merit mention. Porch accommodations are heated when it's cold outside. These seats will be especially welcome in warmer weather. Servers are exceptionally well informed, deliveries appropriately paced. There is a lengthy list of original cocktails, as well as a very well-chosen wine list, with plenty of quality selections by the glass. The bottle list provides ample opportunity for international adventure at prices that actually invite participation. I rate this list in the top echelon. Food sustains those positive initial impressions. My first visit occurred on a chilly evening, so soup seemed in order. I was well pleased with potato leek. The kitchen melts the leek whites slowly over low temperature, extracting flavor. The taste of both named ingredients is clearly evident, the oniony leeks not overshadowing the potato, hosted in a pureed potato broth seasoned with sherry vinegar. Gumbo gets most of its impact from andouille sausage in a hearty tomato broth blended with the holy trinity of celery, bell peppers, and onions. With a salad, I could make a meal from either of these and be happy with it. An off-menu asparagus risotto was especially impressive. Al dente asparagus segments studded creamy arborio rice, enriched with mushrooms, layered with shaved truffles, and coated with Parmesan foam. The foam is constructed with melted cheese and gel sheets, blended and fired out of a CO2 gun. Don't try this at home without proper training and safety equipment. Lump crab and artichoke dip arrives steaming, covered with melted Parmesan cheese, which gives way to a creamy interior. Intact lumps of crab meat, as well as quartered artichokes, convey solid flavor from these main ingredients, well served by the cheesy host. A bistro has to have a good hamburger, and this one does. The meat is finely ground, exuding solid, simple beef flavor, hosted on a brioche bun with lettuce and tomato. Accompanying fries are unusually crisp. My wife and I both found the fries and even the meat too salty. Not seriously, but if you are sensitive to salt, you might tell your server to have the kitchen exercise restraint in this regard. One section of the menu is devoted to seafoods and steaks cooked on a wood-fired grill, all of which come with one side. The whole fish choice one night was branzino, a Mediterranean whitefish that lends itself very well to this treatment. My serving was perfectly cooked, coming away from the bone easily, the clean, pure flavor of the fish accented with homemade tartar sauce. If you prefer, the kitchen will fillet this for you and remove the head. Some people just don't want their dinner looking back at them. I ordered Brussels sprouts, al dente, enhanced with lardons, thick bacon, mostly lean, not fatty, richly flavorful. Tuna also benefits from grilling. The serving here is sushi grade, no gristle, and it arrived cooked just as ordered. Roasted mixed vegetables include fingerling potatoes, forest mushrooms, leaves of kale, onion slices, and Brussels sprouts. Salmon resides on the plates section of the menu. This kitchen sources its salmon, an excellent product, from the Faroe Islands. It is seared to a light crust that allows interior moisture to remain intact. A whole grain mustard beurre blanc sauce further extends flavor. The fish is presented over an assembly of wild rice, hosting turnip and butternut squash morsels, plus Swiss chard. Another selection from this section of the menu is pasta pomodoro with meatballs. You'd be hard-pressed to beat this, even in a good Italian restaurant. The pasta is cooked al dente, the thick tomato sauce uniquely sweet, a function of San Marzano tomatoes. The meatballs are hearty, coated with melted mozzarella cheese. It's hard to pass up dessert this time of year, especially when it can be shared with friends. Unindicted co-conspirators Fred and Courtney thus enjoyed creme brulee with us. The crust is delightfully light, the interior rich and creamy. large sliced blueberries join strawberry slices on top. As currently configured, the restaurant is fairly small, seating a little over 50 inside, a similar number on the patio. But expansion is planned for the future. They are knocking out a wall and taking over the space next door, which will become the Station at Sage and Salt, with local seafood a specialty, a raw bar, cooking on a Japanese Ribotta grill, and live music. The Brock family, Tom, Kelly, and their son Brandon, are the owners. Brandon was a former Willow's Bistro server and assistant manager when that restaurant occupied this space. Tom Brock is the wine director. He has assembled an exceptional list at especially good prices. Two experienced chefs, Anders Benton, whose work I admired at GIA in Greensboro, and Patrick Rafferty, an alumnus of Thomas Keller's Bouchon in California, helm the kitchen. The manager is Eric Van Orden. He has over 15 years' experience in the Winston-Salem restaurant scene. I look forward to continued growth here. This one is a winner. Sage and Salt Bistro is located at 300 South Liberty Street in Winston-Salem, 336-829-5007, and the website sageandsaltbistro.com. From Maine and Broad Magazine, Restaurant Spotlight, Spazio, Vino, and Cucina, by David McCreary. After living in Holly Springs for nearly a decade, Italian chef Paolo Gavazza finally found a restaurant close enough for him to walk to work. Of course, it helps that he bought the place, Spazio Vino and Cucina, a cozy seat eatery, represents the fulfillment of a longtime vision for Gavazza. In case you are wondering, the word spazio means space in Italian. Born in Rome, Gavazza received his culinary training at the esteemed Alma School of Italian Culinary Arts. He then embraced an opportunity to work at a Michelin-starred bistro in a small town in Italy, a job he refers to as the best professional experience of my life. While attending a wedding in Scotland, Gavazza met Bonnie Walcott, a Pennsylvania native whom he ultimately married. "She's the reason I moved to the United States," the chef says with a smile. Once settled in North Carolina, Gavazza further honed his craft in various kitchens like Enrigo Italian Bistro in Cary, Mulino Italian Kitchen and Bar in downtown Raleigh, Convivio Restaurant and Bar in Durham, and even during a brief stint as a private chef. In recent years, Gavazza, his wife, and their teenage daughter frequented Ashley's Harvest Moon Cafe in Holly Springs for breakfast. "I told Ashley if she ever decided to close the business to let me know, as I have always loved the space," Gavazza shares. Then, not long ago, she told me she planned to get married and close the cafe. When Harvest Moon shut its doors last fall, Gavazza didn't hesitate to sign a lease for the spot, which is conveniently situated less than half a mile from his home. Spazio quietly began serving dinner with a soft opening in October 2023. Early on, the chef was seen bussing several tables before ducking back into the restaurant's jewel box-sized kitchen to cook the next meal. Word quickly spread about the new gourmet hideaway. Soon, tables were filled with eager customers. "I didn't expect all the business we received right away," he says humbly. "It seems we picked just the right moment to start, as people have kept coming in to dine with us." Patrons now visit time and again for the bona fide Italian fare Gavazza dishes up with aplomb. Among the irresistible antipasti selections, the star of the show is the tagliere, which involved a chef's choice mixture of first-rate charcuterie and cheeses. On the day we visited, we grazed on pecorino cheese and gorgonzola with aged balsamic vinegar, Tuscan salami, and speck, a smoked prosciutto. Never mind the drizzled raw honey, assorted nuts, and sweet Rainier cherries tossed in for good measure. The tagliere opens the flavor profile for the evening and allows you to experience what the restaurant is about, says server Barrett Jones. When you visit, be sure to order the crisp, house-made focaccia bread, fashioned with four types of flour and served with extra virgin olive oil. As for entrees, the house favorite lasagna is a crowd-pleasing showstopper that literally melts in your mouth. Sausage-infused risotto brimming with fresh mushrooms and pumpkin puree will not disappoint. And if it's available when you visit, consider the octopus cooked in tomato sauce with olives, capers, garlic, and white wine. Gavazza sources his ingredients from Whole Foods as well as Virginia-based purveyor International Gourmet Foods. I enjoy going to the market each day and choosing the ingredients I want to cook, Gavazza says. My philosophy is to prepare and serve fresh food every day. Not only does the chef know his way around the kitchen, but he also possesses extensive knowledge about quality Italian wine to pair with the cuisine. Most of the wine available is what I really enjoy drinking, says Gavazza, adding that much of the list is populated with selections from organic vineyards. Possibilities such as Sicilian Passo Bianco Chardonnay and Brunello di Montalcino from Tuscany are full-bodied and satisfying to drink. Red and white wine is available by the bottle and the glass. Don't skip dessert. Whether you choose the refreshing panna cotta made with vanilla beans and homemade raspberry coulis, or the classic tiramisu, our hands-down favorite, you're sure to leave no trace behind. In addition to traditional dinner service, Spazio also offers occasional multi-course wine dinners and special chef's table experiences that give Gavazza freedom to be more adventurous. We also host private events and cooking classes, Gavazza says. Decor is warm and inviting, with white linens covering the tables and a striking stone fireplace providing just the right level of soothing ambiance. Spazio is open Tuesday through Saturday, starting at 4:30 for dinner. Reservations are strongly recommended. Spazio Vino and Cucina is located at Holly Springs Crossing, 128 Bass Lake Road in Holly Springs. 919-285-3596 and the website spaziromana.com. Next up from Our State magazine, Catching Family Ties at Walkertown Seafood Shack. At a seafood restaurant in Forsyth County, meals of fried fish and hush puppies are the backbone of past and future family memories, by Chloe Klingsted. Most fish tales seem too good to be true, but the story of Walkertown Seafood Shack and Johnny Shipman, the restaurant's general manager, needs no embellishment. We begin in the year 2011. At one of the restaurant's six tops, Shipman shared one last meal with his grandmother, Bessie, before she died just a few weeks later. He can't remember what he ordered. Maybe the fried captain's platter, a large piece of fried flounder atop a mound of popcorn shrimp, oysters, and a deviled crab, served with slaw, hush puppies, and french fries. A fitting meal for a growing boy of 14. That moment marked the end of one chapter in Shipman's life and the start of another. The Seafood Shack is one of a few family-owned sit-down restaurants in Walkertown, the Forsyth County town of about 6,000. Owner George Palumbas transformed the former John Deere dealership on Darrow Road into a seafood restaurant in 2006. He envisioned a casual, beach-inspired joint with wood siding, metal awning, and colorful signs. Walkertown Seafood Shack became that setting for landlubbers. Coverall-clad mechanics on their lunch breaks, families celebrating birthdays, and retirees out for their weekly dinner date. It also became a fixture in Shipman's life. A few years after his last meal with his grandma, Shipman started bussing tables at Walkertown Seafood Shack. He even took culinary classes at Guilford Technical Community College. He felt drawn to the food industry, a passion he attributes to Bessie. Having grown up during the Great Depression, she knew how to get the most out of what you had, Shipman says. He recalls watching her can vegetables, tasting her scratch-made biscuits, and helping her make cornbread studded with her garden-grown jalapenos. And then a major plot twist. Shipman fell in love with a waitress named Maria, Palumbas' daughter. The two married in 2019, and a handful of regular customers attended their wedding. I married the restaurant and the wife, Shipman says. Seemed like he'd found his happily ever after, but conflict was on the horizon. In February of 2020, Shipman was promoted to general manager. When the COVID pandemic forced restaurants to close their doors, he was nervous, but he believed that the folks who'd always been willing to wait for tables on Friday nights would still show up to order takeout. They did. On any given day, at the restaurant, Shipman, now 26, talks with Debbie Cameron and Amanda Mabe, both servers who have worked at Walkertown for more than a decade. They discuss the weekly specials on a chalkboard that's pulled by a silhouette of a John Deere tractor on the wall, an homage to the building's history. He's quick to applaud the restaurant's efforts to support other North Carolina businesses. Chocolate, butter pecan, and key lime cakes from Cake and All Things Yummy in Kernersville make up the dessert menu. Most of the seafood comes from Todd's Seafood in Thomasville. An Ideal Printing in Walkertown handles all of the printed goods and signs. Shipman's time at the Seafood Shack has come full circle. He thinks back to that last meal with his grandmother 13 years ago. She would have turned 100 last year. She may have missed some of the chapters in Shipman's life, but she helped write his story. And the Walkertown Seafood Shack is located at 2890 Darrow Road in Walkertown, North Carolina. Their phone is 336-595-2932. And the website, walkertownseafoodshack.com. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Review. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I am Mary Ellen Sura, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Restaurant Review is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. ¶¶